take your Bibles, please turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. We'll read this passage responsively. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep in houses, and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? Ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do here in this place. Lord, this morning the altars were filled, and lives were changed, and eternity was blessed by what took place in this room. Father, thank you for a man of God that walks with you. It's evident in every area, but especially while he preaches with the tear in the corner of his eye. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power tonight. May we get from you what he has for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen.
My sermon this evening is entitled, Only a Form of Godliness. Only a Form of Godliness. There are those that can talk religious. They can act religious. They can even serve like religious people do. Oh, they have something on the outside, but it's only a form, and they do not have God on the inside. Oh, they've been around the things of God, but they've not been around God. They're fake. They're phony. It's hard to believe, but the folks who will try to hinder your growth in Christ may end up being religious people. People that have this form of godliness, but as the Bible puts it, they deny the power thereof. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, which we read together just a moment ago, is written by Paul. He was an old-time biblical conservative. He is writing it to a young pastor, a young up-and-coming pastor by the name of Timothy. The phony church-playing religious people, they did not like Paul. All you have to do is study the life of Paul, and boy, the church players, the ones that weren't real, the ones that had a form of godliness, they did not like the Apostle Paul at all. They're the ones throughout the New Testament that cursed him and abused him and mocked him and scourged him. And Paul was the kind of person that just told you the truth. And sometimes these people that have a form of godliness, they don't like that. They don't like that. Notice Paul's warning to Timothy. We read through it. Let me point out some things that he says. Paul is saying to Timothy, now you better watch out because you're going to go through some perilous times. And right in the midst of his description of these perilous times, we find out he's talking about perilous times with other religious people. Listen, in verse 5 it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, that verse is tucked within other verses. Let's find out what Paul is saying. Paul is describing to Timothy some tough times that's going to come on this preacher. In verse 2, Paul says these people, they're going to love themselves. In other words, they'll do what is best for themselves, not God. If they have to make a choice between loving God and loving themselves, they're going to love themselves and they're not going to love God. It says they're going to be covetous. In other words, they're interested in what they can get, not what they can give. They're going to be proud. He says in verse 2, they're going to be blasphemers. Now remember, we're just in verse 2. But in verse 5 it tells us, these are religious people. Religious people that are blasphemers, they're unthankful, they're unholy. Oh my soul, churches today are full of people that are unthankful, and it's definitely full of people that are unholy. not interested in holiness. In verse 3, it says that these people that will cause Timothy problems, they're truce breakers. Now, I did a little study about that truce breaker thing. It meant their attitudes and their spirits, they had the kind of attitude that they were not interested in reconciling bad relationships. In other words, they were at odds with somebody and they were not interested in getting it right. Now you listen to me. We're supposed to get things right with people. We're supposed to love people and we're supposed to get along with people. But these people, they're the kind that come into the church and they've always got a chip on their shoulder. They're bitter. They're angry. And they're not planning on changing. And of course, the spirit that they bring to a church is devastating. They're truce breakers. They're false accusers. There's that gossip again. There's the backbiting. There's the criticism. Now you watch out. You watch out for these kinds of people. Because Paul is warning Timothy that there's going to be some perilous times and Timothy's going to face some tough times as a Christian and as a preacher because we've got these people, they love themselves and they're covetous and they're boasters and they're blasphemers and they're unthankful and unholy. They're truce breakers. They're false accusers. It says in verse number 3, they're fierce. What does it mean? They are vicious when revealed. They are vicious when revealed. In other words, Paul was saying, Timothy, watch out. When you get up and preach the truth about phony Christianity, there's some people that when you reveal their phoniness, they'll become fierce. They'll become vicious because of the revelation of their spiritual condition. They liked being phony. They wanted people to respect them as a religious person while they were with the religious people, but they weren't real. They wanted the best of both worlds. They wanted to go down to the church and be respected for holiness when they weren't really holy, then go out in the world and live like the world and have the people out there like them too. And when you reveal them, Paul is saying, they will become vicious. He says they're despisers of those that are good. You ever met somebody that went to church but despised those that did good? Always turning their nose up at those that did good. In verse number 4, he says they'll be traitors. What's it mean? They have no concept of loyalty to anything but themselves. And we already know they're loyal to themselves because the Bible says that they're full of pride. Verse number 2. And they love themselves. So their loyalty is to self. They want loyalty to self. They don't have any loyalty to the things of God. They don't have loyalty to the cause of Christ. They don't have loyalty to the positions of leadership in the church. It says they're heady. Now what does that mean? The word heady means that they have fallen head first. These are reckless people. They've kind of got a reckless abandonment kind of an attitude. They don't care who they hurt. They just throw themselves at whatever they're doing. It says they're high-minded. I looked up the word high-minded there. It means they have overinflated heads. If their head were a basketball, it's going to blow a valve any moment because it's so inflated. They really think they're something. And they want everybody else to think they're something. He says that they are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They will choose pleasure over God. I could get up and preach against a pleasure that is a sin, and they'll get angry with me for preaching it. Why? Because they love pleasure more than they love God. Then you get to verse number 5, and we find out who these people are. It says they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They do not have the Holy Spirit within them. When you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit into yourself. They do not have the power of God. They do not have the Spirit of God. They merely have a form of godliness. They've got it on the outside, but they don't have Jesus Christ on the inside. And it says, from such stay away. In verse number 6, it goes on to say these people, they lead silly women astray. See, Brother Owens, what does that word silly woman mean there? I looked it up in the Greek. You think it means blonde, but you're wrong. You're wrong. Your exegesis is incorrect. Silly women means simple-minded women, easily led women, Actually, it means little women. Women that can't think for themselves. Let me tell you something. There are so many trashy preachers on television taking advantage of women that are stuck at home watching TV, draining them of their money, telling them that if they'll do certain things, a peace will come to their life. If the evangelist had any sense, he'd tell that woman to go find her a local New Testament Baptist church and get right with God and go to church on Sunday. But they take advantage of these women. It goes on, and verse number 7 says, these people, these that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, they're ever learning. Meaning this, they listen to a lot of religious stuff, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They hear one thing and believe it for a little while, and hear something else and believe it for a little while. They jump from, you know, they could go to any church in town. They're not saved, that's why. They don't know what the Bible teaches. So they're ever learning something religious, but they're never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. You say, what's the truth? Right there is the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And so Paul, an old, seasoned, grizzled, war-torn veteran, comes to a young preacher and says, Timothy, I got to tell you, you're going to have to watch out because you're going to go through some perilous times, and it's not going to be so much with the lost world out there that don't claim Christ. It's going to be with the religious crowd that claims Christ, but they don't have Christ. They're not saved. Hey, don't you be shocked if one of these phonies try to hurt you by trying to hinder your full commitment to God. Do you know that the very first murder in the Bible was one where a religious phony was attacked a decent, God-fearing Christian?
Right.
You know the story of Cain and Abel? The very first murder in the Bible. You know what happened? Both were told by God to offer a sacrifice of blood as a picture of the coming death of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Abel did what God said to the T. Abel got an animal and sacrificed that animal and shed the blood of an animal. He believed he was to follow God's word exactly as God said it was to be followed. Everybody look right this way, please. He took the Bible seriously. He said, God said it, I believe it, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to debate it. I'm not going to take 5 weeks to make my decision. I'm going to give the sacrifice exactly as God said. Cain, he gave a sacrifice too. He believed in a liberal interpretation of the word of God. He had a form of godliness. You see, he gave a sacrifice, but he was totally wrong about the sacrifice that he gave. You say, Brother Owen, he was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. You can be sincere all you want and think good deeds are going to get you to heaven. That sincerity will take you right to hell. Sincerity has, you know, and I like sincerity. I appreciate sincerity. But you know what? You better just obey the word of God. Cain, he gave a sacrifice too. But he gave her the fruit of the ground. And God was displeased with his sacrifice, and God rejected it. You say, oh God, he'll receive whatever form of religion you offer him. You better tell that to Cain. No, he won't. He will accept the pure gospel and religion of the Bible, and that's it. God doesn't accept Buddhism, Mohammedism. He doesn't receive work salvation. No, the way the Bible teaches it is what God accepts. And Cain was totally wrong about the sacrifice he gave. God was displeased with his sacrifice. Get this. Cain, the one that did wrong for God, got angry with Abel, who did right for God. He rose up and slew Abel. Can I tell you how vicious so-called Christians can get? Cain and Abel were brothers. Cain went to the local independent fundamental Baptist church, or Abel went to the local independent fundamental Baptist church, and Cain went to the so-called who knows what church. And Cain rises up and slays Abel. He was angry with Abel. Now folks, let me tell you something. If it happened to Cain and it happened to Abel, it's going to happen to us.
If you're going to live right, somebody's going to persecute you. Somebody's not going to like it. Cain probably said to Abel, Abel, you're being ridiculous about this thing of obeying God's word. You're getting carried away with your obedience. What is this business of believing everything God said? Watch me. I'm religious. And he gave his sacrifice of the vegetables or the fruit of the ground. He gets angry that Abel was pleasing to God. He rises up. He kills Abel. He's marked. And he went down in history as a God rejecter. And that's what he was. History tells us of many who suffered for their beliefs at the hands of religious people. Jesus Christ. Do you know who it was that escorted him to the cross of Calvary? It was the religious people of the day. You know why? When he stood to preach, he looked right through them. He was not afraid to say, that is wrong, that is phony, that's not right with the Bible. And he so rubbed them raw, they said, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. And any time anybody's going to live holy, and any time anybody's going to live according to the old time ways, you'll be persecuted. History is full of it. Let me tell you a little bit of that history. For instance, Stephen, stoned to death. Do you know that the story behind Stephen, I'm going to read to you about four or five verses in just a second. If you read the entire chapter of Acts chapter 7, Stephen had just called a bunch of religious people stiff-necked and empty. This old boy had some guts. He didn't have a yellow stripe running down his back. He got up and said, thus saith the Lord. He got up and he preached it straight. And then the Bible says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. He was preaching the truth so dogmatically, they stopped their ears. They ran toward him and began to stomp on him and bite on him. They were so religious, but so phony, his word was so powerful and so piercing, and they were so angry, they were mimicking what Cain did to Abel, because Abel believed the Bible was pure and holy and decent, and Cain wanted to have his own style of religion. And these people, they tromped on Stephen. Says, and they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Let me tell you something, folks. There are people out there that have a form of godliness, but their life denies that there's any power involved in their life at all. They're not born again. Let me give you a little history, if I could. Remember James? He's called one of the sons of thunder, the son of Zebedee, the brother of John. He was beheaded by religious people. Cut his head off. Philip was born in Galilee. He was the first ever to be called a disciple. He was scourged, in other words, with a whip called a cat of nine tails. He was beaten 40 stripes, save one. And let me tell you what that means. They believed that if you hit a man 40 times with this particular whip that had nine tails on it, it would kill him. And so to be merciful, they'd hit him 39 times. That's what 40 save one means. They beat him 39 times with a cat of nine tails. They imprisoned him and then crucified him. Why? Because he stood for the gospel. Matthew, known as the toll gatherer or the tax collector, he was slain with a halberd. That's a two-sided military axe, two great big axes, and it was created to split a helmet during war. That's what they killed Matthew with. Why? Because of his stand for Christ. Religious people did that. Just like Cain rose up against Abel. Just like those people in the synagogue threw Stephen out and stoned him. You take James, the brother of Jesus. At the age of 94, they beat him, stoned him. They beat his brains out with a fuller's club. You say, what's a fuller's club? It's a blacksmith's tool that's used to smash iron. Pray tell me, how dangerous could a 94-year-old man be? I'll tell you what was dangerous about him. He stood firm on holiness. He stood firm on separation from the world. And it so bothered him, they let him become old and decrepit and beat him to a pulp. The religious people. James said in James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. James wrote in James 1:6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Hey, some of you that have gray hair, you just make sure that you go to 94 years old and you're still living right and you're still living holy and you're still standing for God. That's what James did. Oh, but it was the religious people. They had a form of godliness. Oh, they could act godly, but they weren't real. Matthias is the one that took the place of Judas. He was stoned at Jerusalem and then beheaded. Andrew, the brother to Peter, was crucified on a cross where they buried two ends of the cross in the ground. Mark, the convert of Peter, was dragged to pieces by the people in Alexandria. They grabbed a hold of Mark and they were just tearing at him. And they drugged him until his body parts began to fall off and he died. Peter was crucified, head down and feet up. You read Peter's writings in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Peter, you'd find out, or 1st and 2nd Peter, you'd find out that he uses the word suffering 16 times. Now, why is it that these people that preached holiness, and why is it these people that lived holiness, why were there persecutions? Because religious people couldn't take the pungency of the truth. It bothered them. They became fierce or vicious over the revelation of their phoniness. 1 Peter 4:13, it says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. In 1 Peter 4:12, Peter says this, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Nero, at that time, was using Christians as human torches. They would stick them on a pole, cover the Christian in tar, and then light them and use them to light up the flower gardens. Paul had his throat cut. Listen to this. Listen to what Paul went through. It says, are they ministers of Christ? He's referring to some religious people. I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. That means beatings with a cat of nine tails. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. You know what the Jews were? They were the religious people of the day. They beat the stuffings out of Paul. What was Paul? Old time religion, man. Didn't believe in the church hierarchy. Didn't believe in all the ritualism. Didn't believe in all that garbage. Didn't believe in playing religion. He preached the old time way. He stood up. He told the truth. He told what was going wrong in the church. He told what needed to get right. And it so bothered them. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils by my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. Watching for his life. In hunger. In thirst. In fasting often. In cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. What am I telling you? They had a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. The power of God is in salvation. The power of God is found in His Word. The power of God is found in holy living. And when you find a church, and when you find a people that are going to believe it, get ready. The religious community won't like it. They won't like it. Jude was crucified. The Bible says in Jude 1:3, Jude said this, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." He said, you're going to have to stand up and fight for what you believe. Bartholomew, he was cruelly beaten and then crucified. Thomas was thrust through with a spear by pagan priests. Luke was hung by the neck on an olive tree. John, the beloved disciple, he was boiled in a cauldron of boiling oil and then died of old age with all of his skin from top to bottom, scarred from the boiling oil. He penned these words in John 15:20. "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also." He said, listen folks, those religious people, they'll tear you to shreds if they get a chance. The day that you reveal their phoniness, they are going to become fierce and they'll attack. Why? They love the world. Why? They love themselves more than they love God. Why? They're full of pride. Why? They're not interested in the things of God. Timothy rebuked some people for celebrating a pagan feast. They beat him with clubs, and he died 2 days later from internal hemorrhaging. In other words, if Timothy got up in this day and age and preached against all the ghosts and goblins of Halloween, the religious people would attack him. If Timothy got up and hammered the Easter Bunny real good for trying to steal the Resurrection Sunday away from the Savior, they would have come after him with clubs and beat him and said, "What are you doing?" If the old guy in the red suit got kicked around in Timothy's day, they'd get out a stick and try to beat him for it. To try to steal the Jesus season away from us. You take Ignatius. Ignatius followed Peter as the bishop of Antioch, the pastor. He was thrown to wild beasts. This is what he said. "I am the wheat of Christ. I'm going to be ground with the teeth of wild beasts, that I may be found faithful. I'd rather die for Christ than rule the whole world." Amen. And you whine because somebody teases you because you take your Bible to work. You won't even take your Bible to work. You laugh at the filthy jokes that everybody tells at work. The Christians of this day and age ought to be embarrassed with their behavior. Preacher, get up and preach on holiness. You've got people that are actually saved church members that can't take it. Let alone the phonies and the fakes from the other religious community. Take Jonah. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. His fear was that he would be impaled on a spear and have his skin cut off in strips as they pulled it off of his body. In Jonah 1, verse 1 through 3, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship, and any time you move away from God, you're going down. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Here's what they do. It was known that if the preachers would get up and preach the truth in Nineveh, they would take a spear, they would set a man on a spear and impale his body, turn him into a human popsicle. They would then take razor blades and they would cut his skin into little strips. They would take like a pair of pliers, grab a hold of the top of the strip, and actually pull the skin off of the body. And it was the pagan religious people that did it. And Jonah said, "If I go there and preach the truth, do you have any idea how I'm going to be treated?" Polycarp. Polycarp was the pastor at Smyrna. You get just beyond the generation of the disciples and you hear of some of these great men. Polycarp, there was a man by the name of Marcus Aurelius who sought Polycarp's life. Two of Aurelius's guards apprehended Polycarp. Polycarp said, these two men now had him shackled. These men, they were guards. And as they had him shackled, Polycarp said, "Could we have a word of prayer?" And as Polycarp went to his knees, he pulled these two guards down. He began to pray. And he prayed so powerfully. The power of God fell on him. These two men were just shaking and trembling. Just trembling. They went to Marcus Aurelius and said, please, let us loose of this man. There's something special about him. Let us loose of this man. Wow. But Marcus Aurelius would not let Polycarp go for his stand. They took him and they burned him at the stake in the marketplace. They offered to nail him to the stake so he could not run. This is what Polycarp said. The one whom I am willing to die for need not worry about me running from this death. In other words, he said, if I've got to be burnt at the stake to prove my love to God, you don't have to nail me or chain me. I'll stand here and do it willingly. And you can't make it to church on Wednesday night because of all the pressures of life. There's Alexander of Alexandria. He was beaten with staves and torn with hooks and then burnt with fire. By the way, most of the persecution I'm telling you about came from the religious people. The so-called churches. The ones that are catering to the fleshly whims of the people to try to build a church. We will cater to the book to build a church. We will cater to God. And if the old time way hinders the growth of the church, so be it. It's sad. Theodora, a young beautiful lady of Antioch, was commanded to sacrifice to a false god by the local religious people. She refused and she was beheaded and then her body burned. Saturninus was a pastor of Toulouse. He refused to sacrifice to idols that the religious people told him he had to sacrifice to. He was fastened by the feet to a bull's tail. He was then drugged by that enraged bull down the temple steps until his head was empty of brains. Fox's Book of Martyrs says that what they did is they would drag him up and down the steps of the temple. I'm talking about the church. Up and down. They would stop every once in a while and grab a hold of that bull. They were waiting until the brains of the man were completely emptied from his head. That's what the religious people did. Maxima, Dantilia, and Secunda, three women who would not deny Jesus Christ. They were given bitter gall and vinegar to drink. They were scourged. They were tormented on a gibbet. That's a gallows. Then they were rubbed with lime and then scorched on a gridiron. All because they would not deny Jesus Christ. They were pushed within inches of death by beatings and then beheaded to top it all off. Women. You ladies, get ready. You want to live right. Somebody's going to give you a hard time. That's why some of you won't come on over and live right. You're afraid somebody's going to mock you. You're afraid somebody's going to tease you. You're afraid of your friends. You're afraid of your family. I've got news for you. Christians through the ages have faced the religious phonies and put up with a lot of teasing and mocking. But Christians through the ages have stood and they've been firm and they've been loyal and they've been holy. And God will bless that. Some of you are going to be ashamed when you stand before God. You're going to be ashamed. Quentin. He was stretched with pulleys until his joints were dislocated. He was beaten with wire scourges, then boiled in oil. Hot pitch and tar were poured on him, and torches were placed in his armpits because of it being a tender part of the body. Romanus, in AD 303, was a deacon of the church of Caesarea. He was scourged and then put on a rack. A rack is where they harness your feet, harness your arms, and then they begin to twist the dial and begins to pull your body apart until your arms and legs are actually severed by being tore. They're severed from your body. His body was torn with hooks. His flesh was cut with knives. His face and skin, they scraped off the skin of his face. His teeth were beaten out of socket one at a time. They plucked his hair out by little bits, and then they finally put him out of his misery by strangling him to death. Who? The fake religious people. Just study history. The Catholic Church is a bloody church. I've got friends that fear their life in Mexico because the Catholics are still putting people to death. Phony religion is bloody. They're vicious. You get up and preach the truth from the Bible and you have the phony religious people all over your case. They can't take it. They don't like the truth. Saturnius, the pastor in Albertine, Africa, was tortured in prison and starved to death. And then his four little children followed with the same treatment. Quirinius, the pastor of Sicily, was cast into the river with a stone fastened to his neck. Listen to what he said. He floated a long time. Remember, he's got a stone around his neck for taking his stand for Christ. And this is what he said right before he went under. It is no new thing, O all-powerful Jesus, for thee to stop a river's course or to make a man walk on top of water as Peter did. Now I proclaim your power as I give my life under the water. What loyalty to the cause of Christ. Let me tell you something. That kind of loyalty makes the religious phonies angry. Why? You're blowing their cover. They have a form of godliness. That's their cover. But they deny the power thereof. They deny Christ. They deny the Bible. They deny the things of God. Bishop Basil's body was ordered to be torn into seven parts. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The sermon's title, Only a Form. He said, Brother Owens, America, there's a lot of religion in America, right, that has only a form of godliness. But they deny the power thereof. He said, well, what should we do? Well, let me tell you this. Don't be caught off guard when an uncommitted religious person tries to frustrate you from going forward for Christ. They'll come to you, they'll try to dilute your stand, they'll try to minimize what you're taught. Don't let them stop you. You know what's going to happen to some of you? Some people that were never interested in having a religious conversation with you before, now that you're getting on fire for God, they're going to talk religion. Well, let's talk religion. Right. They never tried to get you to church, never tried to get you to live right. You get on fire for God, and some of those that have a form of godliness are suddenly, they're going to want to get involved with you. You better be careful. Because secondly, Paul told Timothy, from such turn away. Don't become a religious associate of the phonies. Don't let the world or the phony Christian stop you from going all the way for Christ. I believe in giving God everything. I believe the best life you can have as a Christian is to serve Him with your life from the sun up till sundown, all the days of your life. Realize this, people. If Abel, if the Apostle Paul, if Timothy, if Christians through the ages and through the centuries have had to face some persecution for living for God, we may need to too. Look, I already know. There are people in this community, there are preachers in this community that don't even know me. Never heard me preach, don't know a lick about me. They already don't like me. Does that bother you? Well, I would like for everybody to like me. But I'll tell you this, I'd rather have God like me than them. What is it they don't like about me? That I blow the whistle on the beach and they won't? You know, the only preacher, you know, the only person in this area that's called me is another so-called Baptist. Called me and railed on me for running my buses everywhere. The only religious person in this area that's called me was another Baptist that called to say to me, why are you running them buses everywhere? I said, well, just getting little boys and girls saved. I didn't, but I wanted to ask, why aren't you? But see, what bothers him is that when we do it, everybody knows he's not. I don't understand that. Listen, don't you be one of those described in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 7. Be real. This old world is so sick and tired of phony religion. Be real. Be real. Don't waste your time arguing with them. If you can present the gospel to them and they'll accept it, do it. If they want to fuss and argue about the other things, just go find somebody else to talk to. There's way too many people out there that need the Savior that will have open hearts. Some of the most dangerous people in this world are religious people that don't know God. They don't believe the Bible. They spend all their time saying, well, God doesn't mean that, and God doesn't mean this, and you don't have to do that, and God just loves everybody and everything. Yeah, God does love everybody, but God doesn't love everything. There's some things God hates.
Yes, sir.
Be willing to suffer persecution for being different. Be willing to stand. And I'm talking about politely. I've taught you, we're to be kind, but we're to stand. If you have to take a stand against wicked entertainments, if you get persecuted because of it, you need to be willing. Be willing. Be willing to be faithful to church and be persecuted because of it. Or loyal to the old-time way and be persecuted because of it. Don't cower when the dirty jokes are told at work. You need to move away. Sometimes you need to say, I'm sorry, I don't want to hear that. You really be persecuted because you dress different and walk different and talk different and you're different. They crucified Jesus. They stoned Stephen. They cut Paul's throat. They crucified Peter. And one of your family members can say, you're getting so carried away down there at that church. And you crumble. Well, all right, I'll stay home from church tonight. You just explain that to Bishop Basil, whose body was torn into 7 parts because he took a stand for God. You go down there to that Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, that preacher's crazy. He's like something from ancient days. Right. I preach from a book from ancient days. Matter of fact, I represent the ancient one.
Amen.
Only a form of godliness. You look at the persecution of the real Church of Jesus Christ, it did not come primarily from the lost in the world. It came from religious phonies. They wanted to look religious, but they didn't want to live it. And when somebody comes along and blows the horn on them, they get vicious. Paul came to Timothy. Paul was about to pass off the scene. Timothy was a young preacher. And Paul said to Timothy, now Timothy, let me tell you, you're going to go through some perilous times. There are going to be people, they'll love pleasure. You'll get up and preach against it. They'll try to kill you. These people, they have a form of godliness, Timothy, but they deny the power thereof. And the very people that Paul talked about are the ones that cut his throat. As I study history, I could have gone on all night long. I could take you to the catacombs. Show you tomb after tomb after tomb after tomb of sincere Christians that were put to death by phony Christians. Phony religious people. He said, well, Brother Owens, what do you think is so special about what we believe right there? That King James Bible. That's the Word of God. That's what's special about it. And you'll be persecuted if you hang on to it. It'll happen. It's bound to. But don't be shocked. Because there are those who have just a form of godliness. But it's obvious by their life that their life denies that there's any power thereof. Let's not be like that. Let's be prepared when it comes. Let's take our stand. Let's be willing. Our forefathers did. Why shouldn't we? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.